Welcome to Panic at the Crime Scene for all those who said, "Hey, look, Ma, I killed them." In today's episode, Getting Crafty, we will explore the destructive relationship between Richard and Hell Crafts and what this falling out ultimately led to. A pilot, a flight attendant, a wood chipper, and a view of the Housatonic River led to one of the most pivotal cases in forensic science. This murder case takes place in Newtown, Connecticut, with 49-year-old Richard Crafts and Hell Crafts, who have been married for 11 years. Richard Crafts was a commercial pilot, making $120,000 per year, and Hell Crafts was a flight attendant for Pan American Airlines. The date of this murder was November 19, 1986. A bad relationship began to form between Hell and Richard Crafts when the wife found out that he was a serial philanderer and confronted him with evidence of infidelity. Hell Crafts demanded a divorce, which would cause Richard to lose a lot of money. After the death of his wife, Richard claimed that she had in fact gone back to Denmark with her mother when she disappeared.
When the crime scene was investigated, there was evidence to analyze in order to determine and prove that Heal was the victim killed there and that Richard was connected to the crime. The evidence found at the scene included 2,600 blonde hair strands, skin, fingernails, human blood, human bone fragments, a tooth with a rare and distinct crown, and a chainsaw at the bottom of Lake Zor. Combining all of this evidence, in total, there was only less than 3 ounces of human body present at the scene for scientists to work with. However, the investigators working on this case knew how to analyze this evidence so that even the smallest bits of data were useful. The tooth that was found was analyzed by forensic dentist Dr. Lowell Levine, who determined that it was Heal's lower left bicuspid and also that it was implanted by a dentist in Denmark, which is where Heal is originally from. The fingernail that was found had nail polish that matched polish at Heal's house. Blood was also found at the scene near the lake and in between the teeth of the chainsaw and was analyzed by forensic scientist Henry Lee. In order to determine exactly where the blood was, despite any type of cleanup, Lee sprayed luminol, which is a chemical mixture that exposes where bloodstains were by reacting with the heme portion of hemoglobin in red blood cells in order to make the stains visible to the naked eye. Through blood analysis, he was only able to determine that the blood was from a female with the same blood type as Heal, which was blood type O. DNA testing was a very new practice at the time, and therefore it was not able to help scientists draw conclusions. The analyzation of the blood matched the body pieces found at the scene to the victim, determining that it indeed was Heal who was killed here, but it did not match Richard to the crime. So how was Richard Crafts matched to the crime? Investigators were able to link the water damage serial number of the chainsaw found at the bottom of the lake to Richard.
The legal process of this case started with the Newtown Police Department, which they arrested Crafts on January 13, 1987. They interrogated Crafts and he lied to the police with different stories each time they backfired. Soon after, Connecticut State Police got involved and was working on this investigation as well. The state said Crafts killed his wife, froze her body, cut her body with a chainsaw, and used a wood chipper in areas like Newton and Southbury to cut her body. In addition, the state also said that Crafts disposed the freezer to prevent authorities from finding the evidence.
Investigators have evidence that several witnesses saw a truck and a wood chipper in different locations in Newton and Southbury on November 20th. One witness, Joseph Hines, explained that when he saw Crafts plowing the roads for the first snow, he observed him around 3 a.m., parked on the side of Southbury shore of Lake Zor. Crafts saw Hines, had small talk with him, saying that he was clearing tree limbs down in the November 18th storm. However, no limbs fell during the storm. The investigators have evidence that several witnesses, not just one, saw a truck and a wood chipper in different locations in Newton and Southbury on November 20th. Police arrested Crafts, and that was when the case went to trial on April 4th, 1987.
In the trial, Crafts denied killing his wife, saying that she had disappeared.
Soon after, this case went up to the Supreme Court, confirming the conviction of Richard Crafts guilty in 1989 for killing his wife. It was a 4-1 ruling in favor of Crafts guilty, and he received a 50-year prison sentence, but sought a new trial. Lawyer Walter Flanagan argued that not enough evidence was presented to convict him of murder, and the judge's instructions to the jury have been improper. In addition, the comments made by Crafts' wife before her murder should not have been presented to the jury because of nationwide publicity. At the end, the majority of the justices said the prosecution had a right to inform the jury about these statements because they encountered the defense's position that Hallie Crafts had simply decided to disappear and that she was still alive. Ultimately, Crafts was convicted of murder on November 21, 1989, and is sent to 50 years in prison with parole. He is released from prison in 2001, but is not free of his sentence till 2039. Overall, the state police and Supreme Court handled this case effectively. Furthermore, the authorities were able to find evidence inland and underwater and did not make errors during the investigation.
Forensic scientists were able to use the evidence they found in an effective manner in order to prove that Hill was a victim who died at the scene and connect Richard Crafts to the murder scene. Due to this, we believe justice was served. Thank you.